こんばんは。シーグルワイシナバンスチャシルパンサグラジャタンサグナラグナタンビタンスタンサジーバンSadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine
Namaste
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Gurudeva, Jaya Gurudeva, Gurudeva, Srila Gurudeva.
Jaya Gurudeva,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai. So we shall read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 17. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat. Ayu.
Ayu.
Harati.
Harati.
Vai.
Vai.
Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Udyan,
Udyan,
Astam,
Astam,
Cha,
Cha,
Yan,
Yan,
Asau,
Asau,
Tasya,
Tasya,
Rite,
Rite,
Yat,
Yat,
Kshana,
Kshana,
Nita,
Nita,
Uttama,
Uttama,
Shloka,
Shloka,
Vartaya,
Vartaya.
Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam,
Ayur Harati Vaipum Sam,
Udyan Astam Chayan Asau,
Udyan Astam Chayan Asau,
Tasyarte yakshano nitha.
Tasyarte yakshano nitha.
Uttama shloka vartaya.
Uttama shloka vartaya.
Ayur harati vai pumsam.
Ayur harati vai pumsam.
Udyan astang chayanasau.
Udyan astang chayanasau.
Tasyarte yakshano nita.
Tasyarte yakshano nita.
Uttama shloka vartaya.
Uttama shloka vartaya.
Ayu.
Ayu.
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Harati,
harati
decreases.
Why?
Certainly. Pumsam,
pumsam
of the people.
Udyan,
rising. Astam,
astam
setting.
Cha,
also. Yan,
moving.
Asau,
the sun.
Tasya,
of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite,
except.
Yet,
by whom?
Kshana,
time.
Nita,
utilized.
Uttama shloka, the all good personality of Godhead. Vartaya.
In the topics of.
Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting.
The sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. Except.
One who utilizes the time.
By discussing topics
of the all good personality of Godhead. Is everyone able to hear them? Good. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. So, acceleration means There's a book right there, America Acceleration. But they might be accelerating in the wrong direction. But here says acceleration of devotional service. That means we're engaged in devotional service, but we have to accelerate. It's like in the car, there's the accelerator. Mm-hmm. So we have to step on it. We have to go faster. Because the clock is ticking. The sun is rising and the sun is setting, decreasing the duration of life of everyone, or almost everyone. So we have to step on it. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold.
Gold?
Yes. At the time of death, you may want to increase the duration of your life, and you might be willing to spend any amount of gold or money to extend your life, but you can't. So that means that the time of our life is more valuable than any amount of gold. I mean, once it's gone, we can't buy it back for any amount. So the idea is that we should utilize it in the best way in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's wasted. That time is wasted. Srila Prabhupada had a good friend in Bombay named Bridgeratan Mota. And Mr. Mota had been the wealthiest man in West Pakistan before partition. And then he came to Bombay. And he was married to the daughter of R.D. Birla, who was one of the four Birla brothers, the wealthiest family in India. And Srila Prabhupada was expert in speaking in the language of his audience. So Mr. Mota would come quite frequently to Juhu, even though it was a bit of a drive, and meet Srila Prabhupada. So one day Srila Prabhupada told him that in the ledger of your life there is profit and loss. So any time used in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, is profit. And any time used outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So every businessman, of course, wants to maximize his profits and minimize his losses. And we can do that by maximizing the time we use in Krishna consciousness and minimizing the time we spend outside of Krishna consciousness. And that time, you know, it can never, the time lost can never be brought back or bought back. And at the end of life, we can't purchase any extra time. So our time is so precious. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. So we all want happiness. But, as Srila Prabhupada often noted, we don't know where to find real happiness. Real happiness means happiness that is permanent, that does not end. What we have in the material realm, which is the world of duality, is, you know, happiness and distress. The two go together. But as Srila Prabhupada says here, a living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. So we living entities, by nature, by constitution, are spiritual beings. And therefore, we can be happy only in spiritual activities and a spiritual environment. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a bird. If you put a bird in a cage and you fill the cage with nice gems and jewels and fragrances and make everything very nice, but you don't feed the bird, will the bird be happy? No. So the living, this body is like a cage, and we, the spirit soul, are like the bird in the cage. So no matter what we do for the cage, if we don't feed the bird will not be happy. And so the food for the spiritual soul is Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is the nourishment for the soul. And if we don't nourish the soul will be unhappy. It will be weak, no matter how well the cage is maintained. Another related example that Srila Prabhupada gave was a fish out of water. The fish is a creature of the water. The fish can be happy in the water. If you take the fish out of the water, even if you put it in a golden bowl and fill the bowl with gems and jewels, it won't be happy because it's out of its element. It can only be happy in the water. So again, we are spiritual beings. We are of the spiritual nature, and we can be happy only in the spiritual nature. And if you take us out of the spiritual nature, no matter what you do to, you know, fill the bowl with nice objects, but as long as the fish is out of water, the fish cannot be happy. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. So, yeah, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that the living entities are his fragmental parts and parcels, and they are eternal. And they, we, can be happy only in relation to him, because we're his parts, and we feel complete when we're in relationship with him. And outside of relationship with him, we feel incomplete. And we try to compensate for that feeling of incompleteness, or we try to overcome that feeling of incompleteness by material things, by accumulating material things, gross and subtle. Subtle could be, you know, profit, adoration, and distinction. But they never satisfy. There was a man named John Paul Getty, who was considered the wealthiest person in the world, at least in America. And an interviewer asked him, you know, you're the richest man in the world, you have everything that money can buy. Can you tell us, what is your philosophy of life in one word? And he said, yes. More. That answer was very telling. More. That means he's not satisfied. He wants more. But even if he gets more, he still won't be satisfied, because he's vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. And then the interviewer asked him, you know, in a similar vein, you know, you're the richest man in the world, you have everything money can buy. When you're all alone, when no one else is there with you, what do you think about? And he replied, I think about how to pay the bills. So on our level, we might think about how to pay the bill of $100 or $1,000. He might be thinking how to pay a bill of $1 million or $1 billion to take over some company. But it's the same as any ordinary person. Qualitatively, there's no difference. So, yeah. All right. So he's vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. All right, so we've established that by nature we're spiritual beings. We cannot be happy in the material atmosphere. We can only be happy in relation to Krishna. So how do we connect with Krishna? So here Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna can be appreciated or realized through his name, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. So that's Krishna consciousness. That's connecting with Krishna in any one or more of these aspects of his personality. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. So the form, that means the deity form, like Radhakala Chandri, that is identical with the Lord, or the holy name, or the scriptures, the words spoken by the Lord or about the Lord. They are all Krishna. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. This is a very important fact about devotional service, that it is never lost. Anything material can be lost. Suppose someone is a learned scholar and knows many languages, but when he leaves his body and takes birth as a baby in the next life, he doesn't know any languages. It's all lost. And the same thing with money. You know, you may be a millionaire in this life, but at the time of death, you have to leave it all behind, and in the next life, you're born with nothing. I mean, you may get something, or you may not get something, depending on the circumstances of your next life. But devotional service is never lost. That's the difference between devotional service and material achievements. So you only progress 1% in this life, but still in your next life you start from 2%. So it's never lost. There's no loss or diminution. And even a little progress protects one from the most dangerous fear. What is the most dangerous fear? That's the fear of taking birth in a lower species of life, where one cannot continue in devotional service. So there's a very big difference between material achievements, which are lost at the time of death, and progress in devotional service, which continues into the next life. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear by the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. So the idea is you can inject a highly potent drug in a vein, and immediately the whole body gets the benefit. And so similarly, you can inject the messages of Krishna through the ear, and immediately the whole being gets the benefit. But it starts with the ear, hearing, shravanam. First is shravanam, and kirtanam, smaranam, and so on. Oral reception, that's A-U-R-A-L, through the ear. Excuse me. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all the other parts. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadev Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. So the verse is very striking. By rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. That we can all understand. Except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So how is that? That happens because by utilizing one's time in Krishna consciousness, one achieves his eternal life. His duration of life is not being decreased, but actually he's approaching his eternal life. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the living being. In other words, death is not natural for the living being, because the living being is by nature eternal, sanatana. But it's a symptom of our diseased condition in material life, that we have death. Otherwise, there is no death for the soul. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. So those are Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshana. The Bhagavad Gita says that perception of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease is part of knowledge. And anything else is ignorance. So it's very important that we're aware of these four miseries and make a plan to become free from them. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin without Brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. You're following? If it is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. That's a pretty good return. That's a pretty good return, but it doesn't stop there. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vaidaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyo, that the goal of all the Vedas is to know Him. By all the Vedas, He is to be known. So a Veda Paraga means one who knows Krishna. And so if you give in charity to a Veda Paraga, like Srila Prabhupada, the money is returned by unlimited multiplication. So how does that work? Because nothing in the material world is unlimited. So I would say that it's returned in the spiritual world. There's a very interesting exchange with Srila Prabhupada in Hong Kong. He was, Burijan Prabhu was there preaching, and he arranged to pick up Srila Prabhupada in a Rolls-Royce car and bring him to the penthouse suite in the best hotel, maybe the Hilton, Hong Kong Hilton, for a press conference. So one of the newspaper reporters asked him, you're supposed to be a spiritual person, so why did you ride in a Rolls-Royce car? And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually I'm a resident of the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, everything is made of spiritual gems. So even if they had picked me up in a solid gold Rolls Royce, it would not have been good enough. So you asked me, why did I ride in a Rolls Royce car? Well, the answer is that that was the best they could offer. And when... But and then from there, Srila Prabhupada came to Jew and he related that to me. Uh-huh. And then he said, you know, what else can you say to such envious people? But actually, of course, whatever there was truth to whatever Srila Prabhupada said. So that unlimited multiplication has to be in the spiritual world. So that's the you know, tremendous benefit of giving to a Veda Paraga, the unlimited. Or it could be, but I think that's a better understanding, more correct. Yeah. So, if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaista Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. And now we're coming back to the basic topic. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Mad dhamma gatva purnar janma navidyate. It means one who attains the abode of Krishna never comes back to the material world. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So, generally, we don't like old age or disease, but they're not bad, actually, for a devotee, in the sense that they're an impetus for the devotee to realize his eternal life. That this material world and this material body are not comfortable places. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this material world is a place of misery and it's temporary. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So even if you're ready to make some compromise, that, well, yes, it's not perfect. There's no perfect happiness, but there's some happiness. So I'll take that. But ashashvatam, it's temporary. You can't. Yes, temporarily you might for a while, but you can't keep it. So a devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Because they remind us this is, you know, this body, this place is not our real home. It's not a happy place and it's not a permanent situation. So this is the great gift that Srila Prabhupada and our parampara have given us, that the knowledge of our actual identity and actual goal and the process by which we can achieve it, which is mentioned in this verse, Uttama Shloka Vartaya, discussing topics of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Nandini?
So, you mentioned mentioned this very wealthy man who was from Pakistan.
Oh, Mr. Mota.
And he married a very wealthy woman in India, right? One of the wealthiest families in India.
Yeah, Ardi Birla's daughter.
And so my question is...
just while I think of it, not that it's very much on the topic.
Okay.
But... from time to time, my parents would visit me in India. And so once we had a program at Mr. Mota's home, very nice home on Malabar Hill. And it's sort of the custom, like it's like the culture, that the hostess stands at the door as the guests leave and sort of like, you know, greets them. So when my parents were leaving, Mrs. Mota, Ardi Birla's daughter, said to them that if I ask my husband to do something, he may or may not do it. But if your son asks him to do something, he always does it. Yes. So, yes, now.
Well, I guess my question was, so they had, from what it seems, a good amount of association with Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, Mr. Mota did.
So, did you experience that he was, although he was extremely wealthy, that he was embracing somewhat Krishna consciousness? That's one question. And is it possible then for people that are in business people, to be Krishna conscious, practice Krishna consciousness, advancing Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, Mr. Mota, yeah, he definitely made spiritual progress. He was, like many Hindus, maybe most Hindus, he is an impersonalist at first. But he had some interest. This is very interesting. It was very unusual. We received a letter from him in the mail saying that, I think it may have been addressed to Srila Prabhupada, saying that he wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada and discuss with him. But Srila Prabhupada was out of town, and he didn't really... Yeah, so I went to his office to meet him. And so he was one of those people who thought that ultimately God was impersonal. And that the impersonal was speaking through Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. But that the ultimate goal was impersonal. So, after meeting Mr. Mota, I mean there was more to it, but after meeting Mr. Mota, I reported to Srila Prabhupada about the discussion. And he said that I should ask Mr. Mota, even assuming that the impersonal is greater than the personal, what would you rather have? Ten rupees in the pocket of the 2 billion people on earth, or a million rupees in your pocket? So, yeah. But of course, one can be a businessman and be Krishna conscious. I think now of Srinathji Das. He was like a brilliant example. He was his father was a very he was a shrewd businessman in Bombay. And the son, so the father was Dharam Singh Didi Dasai. Dharam Singh Didi Dasai. And the son was N.D. Desai, Narendra D. Desai. And he was considered sort of, you know, like a Pollyanna, like, not shrewd like his father. So, you know, I would meet business people when I would go out preaching. And so that was like the talk.
Okay.
Like, how's he going to carry on the
legacy,
the fortune? And he... you know, he ended up multiplying the businesses. And I truly believe the reason was because he was a devotee. He developed I think the original business was, I know they had one company called Power Oils. It was sort of a petroleum, but he developed light bulbs, a line of light bulbs called CEMA, C-E-M-A. And I would see billboards advertising, and you know, there was something in it wasn't just because I was a devotee and I knew him personally, but there's something about those ads that were just like so attractive. And I felt that Krishna was like making his business successful because he was very charitable. I mean, very charitable. And he, talking about all these family relationships, his wife was the daughter of Aravind Mafatlal. So in those days, like, the Birlas were the number one and the Mafatlals were the number three. So he would get up early every morning and chant his rounds. And he said, not that it was his intention, but he did mention that, you know, that in his early morning japa, he would get good insights into how to conduct the business. He became very successful, you know, way more than his father. And but he was very generous. And also, anyway, I could say a lot about him. But the answer is yes, one can certainly be a businessman and a devotee at the same time.
I think I heard you say at one class, I'm not sure if it was yesterday or... but that Krishna consciousness is about love. Did you say that? Something like that the sentiment is about the highest love?
Yes.
And so we love the example that you water the root and then automatically all the leaves are benefited. So, you know, sometimes you see, you know, the concept that we're all one, which is spiritually, in a sense, we are all spirit souls, and there's a connection in that way. And so, you know, like natural inclination, I think, for a devotee to feel love for everyone, and for people generally to feel love for others. For their immediate family, for sure, but for just seeing that Krishna is, he's there, he's with everyone, he's with, you know, you see that, isn't it?
Well, in the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains that every living being has the propensity to love. You know, even animals. He's saying even lions have the propensity to love their offspring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he said, or he wrote, that we have to know where to place our love so that we're satisfied. Mm-hmm. And that is Krishna. But again, Krishna ultimately includes every living entity because they're all his parts and parcels. So if you love Krishna, then you do love every living entity.
Asking for advice. So sometimes the dualities of life are such that there's a lot of mental anguish, and despite trying to engage the mind in the nine processes of devotional service, one isn't quite able to overcome the anguish. So what would your advice be in such? What should a person do?
Well, when we're chanting, we have to fix the mind on the sound of the holy name. And His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, who's conducted a lot of japa retreats and holy name retreats, says that whatever it is, you just have to bring the mind to the sound of the holy name. But he did say if something keeps coming back, some disturbing or distracting thought or challenge, then you may have to deal with it. So, you know, yes, I mean, mental anguish. Well, first of all, you're not the mind. So, with your intelligence, you can see that this is your mind. You know, it's not you. It's your mind. But yeah. Or we just have to take more shelter, you know, more, whatever, more sincerely, more earnestly. But there's another I think we could leave it at that as far as this exchange.
Just persist.
Persevere. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like they say, drops of water wears away stone. So, yeah, if you just keep with the chanting and hearing, then eventually that anguish will get worn away.